Let's come to God in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight and for giving me the opportunity to speak your word. May I not do this carelessly, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, rightly handle the word of truth. May hearts and minds be open tonight to receive your words, and may we take lessons that we can apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so tonight we're going to be looking at 2 Samuel chapter 6. We'll be doing the whole verse, or the whole chapter, verses 1 to 23. Okay, so I'm going to start off by reading the chapter, the Ark brought to Jerusalem. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the Ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the Ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the Ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone, to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of those base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler of the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honour." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Okay, so I've divided the passage into 6 key points. They all begin with C, so hopefully it will be easy for you to remember. One of the hardest parts of this study was finding words that begin with C. Me and Tom sat with our thesaurus for a while, thinking of words. But we ended up with careless excitement, confused anger, convicting realization, clear repentance, cheerful worship, and cynical and distant. So let's talk about careless excitement. The Ark of the Covenant is being brought back to the children of Israel. What a great day this is. After all, it's been in the country of the Philistines for many months. And now they're going to get the Ark of the Covenant back. And this should be good news. They're bringing back that which represents the presence of God in their midst. There's great joy, singing, dancing, playing of instruments to glorify the name of the Lord. But, unfortunately, this ended badly. When Uzzah held out his hand to stop the ark from falling to the ground, God struck him dead. Now, I must admit, on the surface, it seems a bit unfair. It seems a bit harsh. I know I thought that when I first read it. And I've seen non-believers use verses like this as they try to prove what kind of unkind and unjust God is. How can this be a God of love and kindness? The Bible says, does it not? God is long-suffering, slow to anger, but it didn't seem to take him long for his fury to just explode at Uzzah. So why has God done that? I think, as always, some context is needed, and we'll soon find out, if we needed any reminding, that God is a God of righteousness and justice. He's a holy God. David was given clear instructions how the ark was to be handled. He knew full well that it was holy. In Numbers 4, there are detailed instructions about how it should be treated. The ark was so sacred, and no humans were even allowed to look in it, because it would defile it by their sinfulness. In Samuel 6:19, it tells us that 70 men were put to death because they looked onto the ark of the Lord. So it's not as if God had not set a precedent before. We're also told that only a branch of the priestly tribe of Levi, called the Kohathites, were to move the holy things. In Numbers 4:15, we read, "When the camp is ready to move, the Kohathites are to come and do the carrying, but they must not touch the holy things or they will die." Also, we need to remember that the ark was supposed to be carried using poles. What did David do? He carried it using a cart. And it's a nice cart, from what I gather. It was new. I'm sure it was well made, because David wanted the ark to be carried in a dignified manner, not in the old-fashioned way, carried by men using poles. But it was the wrong method, nonetheless. Another clear instruction from God on this matter was that the priests were to cover the ark with cloth before it was moved. And this didn't appear to be done either. So Uzzah wasn't even allowed to look at the ark, let alone touch it. So the people had the knowledge, but they did not heed the instruction. Uzzah was probably a Kohathite himself, and he would have known that touching the ark is a capital offence. He'd have been trained thoroughly, and he would have known his duties. So therefore, he wasn't an innocent man, or somebody who was punished without warning. He had clear warning. So though he was excited, David was excited, the people were very excited, it seems though they were more excited about the item itself rather than what the item represented, which was the presence of God in their midst. The Bible constantly emphasises the holiness of God. When we say that the ark represented God's presence, that includes his holiness. And the touching of the ark by a sinful man is therefore equal to defiling God. So what lessons can we learn from that? As believers, yes, it's good to be excited for God. Want to come and praise, want to come and worship him, and it should be an exciting thing. But we also need to make sure that what we're doing is biblical and according to God's word. It's no good trying to please God by doing things that his word forbids. If we lay aside the clear teachings of God's word in order to conform to the thinking of the world, we're just asking for trouble. So God doesn't need our human wisdom. There are churches who are very zealous and enthusiastic in their worship. They might be experiencing lots of emotions, worshipping saints, or they might feel really satisfied that they're doing good works, handing out Watchtower magazines or other literature. But if it's going against God's word, you're going to end up bringing wrath upon yourself rather than blessing. A simple quote to remember, I can't remember who said it, but it's this: it's not God's will if it goes against God's word. And I think that's really important to remember. So it brings me to our next point, confused anger. So David was angry. It says, verse 8, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Now, who was David angry with is the question. I found differing opinions on that. In the MacArthur Study Bible, he says that David was most likely angry at himself for the way he carelessly handled the ark. In the New Geneva Study Bible, R.C. Sproul says the reader's not told whether the main cause of David's anger was Uzzah's death, his recklessness, or his own cavalier attitude in the way he handled the ark. Michael Bentley, in his commentary, says David was angry at God for making himself look like a fool. So, who's right? I'd say they're probably all right, in a way. Hence the term confused anger. Certainly David was made to look very foolish. And David may well have been angry with God because his plans were thwarted, his pride was dented, he was humiliated. A great king made to look like a fool. There's lots of people were ready for a big procession. Perhaps he thought his status had diminished in the eyes of the people. So how often do we become angry at someone else to cover up our own wrongdoing? Do we become angry at God when things don't go our way and we don't get what we want? I think we can relate to David because we can become angry when our pride is hurt. But in these situations, we need to humbly accept that God knows what's best for us and that God doesn't just want things to go wrong purely so that we can suffer. In Ephesians 4:26-27, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Satan's going to want us to dwell on our anger instead of turning to God's words. Is David angry with himself? He must have been. When we do something wrong, we do get angry with ourselves, particularly when we know what the right thing to do was and we don't do it. And in this case, David did know the right thing to do. And he admitted as much, because in 1 Chronicles 15:11-14, he acknowledges that the trouble had come because the Levites did not bring up the Ark of the Lord in the prescribed manner. I'll just read that to you. It reads, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Uzziah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Abinadab. He said to them, you are the heads of the father's house of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord, of God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us. So David clearly acknowledging there that they had not been correct the first time in the way they transported the ark according to God's word on that occasion. Now to look at convicting realisation and clear repentance. I think David does realise that he did wrong. And I think the fact he realises that and took steps to put it right shows that he felt convicted of his sin. The fear of the Lord helps us to keep on track and to keep away from sin. In verse 9 we read David was afraid of the Lord that day. It seems David was so convicted of his sin that he did not even feel worthy to house the ark. I must admit, when I feel I've sinned against God, I feel unworthy. Sometimes I don't even feel worthy of being called a Christian. Sometimes I don't even read the Bible for a day or two because I just feel like I can't come to it. Of course, that's the opposite of what we should be doing. We should be getting closer to God and not further away. So David felt convicted and he put the ark in Obed-Edom. And during the first 3 months it was there, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. It doesn't say in what form the blessing came. We can assume Obed-Edom was particularly poor before the ark came. And then when the ark came, God gave him substantial riches. But whatever the form of the blessing was obvious to everyone. So the ark symbolised God's presence in the midst of his people, but it was also a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ's presence in the middle of the church. So this should serve as a reminder to us all that if we had Jesus living in the centre of our lives, we can assume his blessing, and hopefully that will be a good witness to our neighbours as well. So David was now happy to bring the ark to Jerusalem, and we know that this time they're transporting it properly. He sacrificed oxen, fatted sheep, which again could be admission of his need for forgiveness and atonement of his sin. Although, of course, we now know that Christ is a sufficient sacrifice for our sins, and we're privileged to live in the day of grace, the age of grace. So David became joyful as he was reconciled to God, and this leads to cheerful worship. He joined in with the joyful procession. We can't celebrate the blessings of God if sin dwells in our hearts. Before anything else happens, our sin needs to be confessed. It needs to be dealt with. David was happy because he was now doing God's will. He laid aside his royal robes and danced in a simple tunic. He wanted to show everyone that he was God's servant. His anger had been taken away and he'd stopped being afraid of God. I like it where it says verse 14, "Then David danced before the Lord with all his might." All his might. Does our joy ever overflow that much that we might have a dance before the Lord? Or maybe a little cry? Or just some form of emotion? There's no shame in it. Maybe the way I dance. might be. Finally, my last point, beginning with C. Cynical and distant. Who might I be referring to there? Well, it's Moody Michael. David came to bless his household, and Michael, David's wife and Saul's daughter, just said a very sarcastic comment. You can tell she's related to Saul. She said, verse 20, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So she mentions his being king, his immodesty, and his other women. And it may well be the case that she was harbouring anger that her father had been displaced by David as king. She watched the parade, she watched David dancing, and she despised him in her heart. She didn't have fellowship with the people. They were watching in large groups, and she was sat there watching by the window, separated. But most importantly, she was separated from God. She didn't have fellowship with God. And if you don't have fellowship with God, you can't enter into the joy that those who have fellowship with God have. If our love for God grows cold, our love for God's people will also grow cold. I don't know Michael's state before God and whether she had only been a nominal believer, but it's clear that she only saw the external things of the procession. She saw David dancing, she saw people playing instruments and rejoicing, four men carrying a box on a pole. To her, it was just another religious procession. So it's important that we take a lesson from that. We mustn't be led into Michael's way of thinking, where we can end up despising God and the people of God. It's important to remember that she had been deeply in love with David. And in 1 Samuel, we even read about how she risked her life rescuing him from her enemies, or his enemies. Once she would have admired him for mixing with the people of God, but now she could only find fault with him. When we became Christians and everything was new, and it was all exciting, and it was exciting to meet up, worship, have fellowship, do we still feel that way today? We need to make sure we recognise it. If we don't, we don't want to see worship as Michael did, just another ritual that we come and do on a Sunday, or just come on a Thursday evening as something to do, because then the meetings will lose all their warmth. And they've just become meaningless. We'd miss out on God's blessings. Look at Michael, who had no more children until Saul's death. We might even begin to despise those things that we once thought were very precious. So we need to follow the laws of God. The Bible should be our guide in all that we do. If we're disobedient to God and refuse to follow what God says in his word, is it because we despise even his word? In chapter 12, verse 9, Nathan the prophet said, "David, why do you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his sight?" When the Corinthians were behaving in a disorderly way at the Lord's Supper, Paul said, "Why do you despise the church of God?" We need to be the fire, like David, in the way he replied to Michael when he says, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of his father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified in this, and will be humble in my own sight." Those of us who believe are also chosen by God, and we shouldn't have to keep our beliefs hidden because they offend people. We need to remember, if God is for us, who can be against us? So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.